The Behind the Bets podcast with Doug Kazarian is presented by DraftKings. Download the app for free today.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you. This is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into another Behind the Bets podcast. I am Doug Kazarian. We have sports perhaps just around the corner. A lot of reports of the main team sports that we often discuss here on the pod. But we have some NASCAR already underway. We got golf to discuss here on the podcast. We had a charity event last weekend. We got Tiger, Phil, Brady Manning coming up. We're going to check in with Michael Collins, the caddy, the ESPN caddy, is going to join us. Obviously, you know him on SportsCenter and all the other airwaves, has his own podcast with Matt Berry, Matty and the caddy. So we're going to finally get him here. He's going to share some of his wisdom that he has from the tour. I'm fired up for Michael. Christina, are you?
I am, and I've actually gotten a lot more into golf recently, especially given the fact it's the only sport that seems to be coming back right now.
Right. Did you watch much of last weekend's charity event?
I actually did. Both my grandfather and my father are huge golf fans, so I had it on.
Yeah, I watched some of it. I had a few plays that my buddy tipped me off to. Two of the three hit, so appreciate that. And everything was plus money, too. But I'm really interested in this one. I think just having Tom Brady and Peyton Manning alongside Tiger and Phil just raises it, right? Raises the intrigue, which is obviously the design of the event to add that intrigue. I'm curious how it all plays out with the golf component for the quarterbacks and even the golf component for the pro golfers. I think we were intrigued when Tiger went versus Phil last time, and I think it's just going to be really cool. And obviously when you can bet on it, it always kind of adds the value to it. Any ping pong for you lately after last week's podcast?
I didn't get a chance to watch any. However, I did actually hear a few of my friends have started to pick up watching.
Good. Well, my Twitter feed really picked up, particularly last night. A lot of my buddies were texting me today who were like, you're ridiculous with it. So I am very into it and very much think there's an opportunity for a lot of people out there. So if you like it, the analogy I used is it's basically sports blackjack. You can have quick hands, it's the matches are between 10 and 15 minutes, and you can also play in game each set. So if you're down 5-3, you can take plus money to come back and win the set or the match. And then there's the live over-unders update. And there's such volatility in this because there's no clock and it's one-on-one and it's fascinating. So you have the short-term action, the short-term results that blackjack has. It's a thinking game, so you can kind of evaluate. And then it's all the handicapping stuff we have. It's sort of the situational because they play each other so much. There's assessing the skill, and it's pretty random at times too. So I've enjoyed it. Let's just put it that way. So yeah, for those who wanted to go learn more, hear more about ping pong, go check out last week's podcast. Check in with a pro bettor, and we break down a few of the players, and we talk a little bit about table tennis. So it was a lot of fun in that regard, but we have fun coming up right now with Michael Collins, ESPN caddy. But first, I want to tell you about DraftKings. It's giving new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter code Doug, that's D-O-U-G, at signup. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Stop. Hammer time.
Time now to bring in a gentleman. You know exactly what's about to happen when you see him on TV. Well, now you know what's going to happen in the audio format. You're going to laugh and you're going to be informed. Michael Collins, the caddy, the ESPN caddy, joins us. How are you, my friend?
Fantastic, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I know you and I speak so much and so often on Daily Wager, but this is the first time I get you here on the podcast, and I'm excited because golf is in the forefront with this Super Bowl champion quarterback squaring off as well as Tiger and Phil, but just kind of like that, this long format. So I'm really interested in picking your brain as well, because sometimes, you know, this is a thing we do in society. You know, somebody has a dominant trait, and I always say this like about Stuart Scott, right? The great late Stuart Scott, because everyone knows the booyah made SportsCenter. but he was a brilliant writer. You know, we forget about the other qualities when there's always one dominant. Now, you're hilarious, but you were also a caddy on the PGA Tour for 10 years, and you know your stuff as well. There's a lot of substance there as well.
My background is just so different because I did both. So I did stand-up comedy for 20 years. Mm-hmm. But in doing stand-up comedy, the 10 years, a part of that, I was caddying on tour as well. So there was a portion where I was doing stand-up comedy and caddying on the PGA Tour at the same time. So, and they're the complete opposites, where when I'm doing stand-up comedy, people would always, guys on tour would make fun of me because my comedy had nothing to do with golf. I might have only had 6 minutes worth of golf in an hour act. And it wasn't even really about golf. It was because I just kept them separate. I never really combined the two because they were so different. I liked the separation of those lives where on stage with the microphone and a spotlight, it's all about me and I'm the star. Where when I'm caddying on the PGA Tour, I'm the vice president. I don't want nothing to do with the spotlight. It's all about my player. And so you go from being the superstar to the servant. And I just was fascinated by the two of those. And then the psychology of golf that you don't think about, I think is one of the main reasons guys like Tom Brady and guys like Peyton Manning, you name the athlete, and I guarantee you they play golf. The top athlete, what you were just saying, The Last Dance.
Right.
Think about when we saw Jordan and the Dream Team, and they did that segment about the Dream Team, what's Jordan have on his shoulders when he's walking into the hotel? His golf bag. When they were in Barcelona, it's crazy. But he is so into the game, and it's because golf is that game that can't be mastered. It's not possible. You can have a perfect game in baseball. You can have a perfect game in basketball. You can go 12 for 12, 13 for 13. You can have no fouls. You can be perfect as a quarterback in football and not throw one incompletion or an interception. There's no such thing as perfect golf. Even Tiger, at his best at the 2000 U.S. Open, where I openly tell people is the only time a human being beat the game of golf, still wasn't perfect. He didn't shoot 18 under every day. And that's the beauty of this game that addicted me so much. So it's funny, golfers, you know, when I was caddying, would always tell people, because people would say, oh, it must be great, you got a comedian on the bag. And they'd be like, he's not real funny on the golf course.
Well, it's a game against yourself, right? So even if you're playing against friends, you can play against a hack or a hack, excuse me, you can have a hack in your foursome, but you're really competing against yourself. And that's the addictive component that so many athletes possess, that addiction, if you will, of wanting to be better, the drive, the competitiveness. And that's what is probably the common thread in all this.
Yeah, big time. And that's the thing. So golf is the one sport where I'm never going to catch a touchdown pass in the NFL. I'm never going to dunk in the NBA.
No.
I'm never going to score a goal in the NHL. I know. I could maybe on a Nerf rim that's 6 feet, maybe I could dunk on that. I'm never going to score in the NHL. You know, I'm never going to steal a base in Major League Baseball. But I can actually hit a shot like Tiger Woods.
Right.
Like I have that ability to hit a shot like Tiger. And that athletes in all other sports, I think the other reason they come to it is because at the highest level they were at their sport, they look at golfers and go, these guys, I don't know how they do it week in and week out, trying to master this mental game 4 days in a row with practice rounds and whatnot. And then those guys at the highest level in their sports, when they come to golf, they can be terrible golfers. And yet, as a golfer, I can go, all right, I'm going to give you 3 shots on the front and 3 shots on the back. And now we're even. So normally, whatever you shoot, we can make it, we can even it up. And I think the one thing about this match that's coming up on Sunday that's going to be interesting is the format they're using on the back nine. On the front nine, when it's just best ball and it's mano a mano, I don't know how much Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are necessarily going to contribute. They might, because they might get some shots, and there's going to be at least one fun hole where Tiger and Phil can only use one club for the whole hole, which will be crazy. But on the back nine, when they play that modified alternate shot, and Brady and Manning aren't playing from the same tees as Woods and Mickelson, and so those guys have opportunities to really unleash a drive, and then all four, or at least the team, the two-man team, gets to play from wherever the best drive is. So that brings a big element of one pressure, but then an opportunity as well. So it'll be cool to see how these guys react to that kind of pressure. And I think, I hope, I shouldn't even say that. I am, can I be pessimistically optimistic that they're going to talk more smack than the first one? Because the first one was a disaster as far as the smack talk on the golf course.
It was, you wanted more.
Hard. Yeah, everyone wanted more. And it was pay-per-view. So you could literally let loose if you wanted to. But corporate Phil and corporate Tiger took over. And Phil even, you know, back then, with the first one, they had caddies. And I remember Phil's caddy, who's his brother, Tim, was threatening to curse. Oh, man, I feel like I should curse right now. I could really drop one. And Phil gives, you better not. You better not. And, like, that was the drama of Phil telling his brother, you better not curse. You better not curse. Well, we know Tiger's infamous for dropping F-bombs on the golf course. Tiger's also pretty good at needling guys, and so is Phil. But both of them, when they were going one-on-one, bleh, like, they chickened out. They wouldn't do it because it was almost like, both of them in their older age have now become friends, whereas friends compared to when they were in their heyday in 2000, they did not like one another. They were not friends. You know, it was like Bird and Magic. Like, I'm going to shake your hand before the game starts, and I'm going to shake your hand when the game's over. But when we're inside the ropes, I'm going to try and step on your necks with my spikes.
Well, right? So it's interesting.
Like, we're not going to eat or nothing. Yeah, we're not going to eat afterwards. It was not like Nicholas and Palmer. It was not like that at all.
Well, that's what's interesting. You mentioned the format. The second format, the other one is alternate shot, but that's after they've played nine holes. So maybe the best ball nine holes will kind of get them sort of warmed up or acclimated, at least maybe the two QBs, and then we'll go from there. I'm curious, a couple other factors. This is stuff you know. It's in the weeds a little bit. But Tiger, you know, he talks about Medalist is his home course. How much of his advantage, or has Phil played there enough where it's kind of neutralized?
No, I think where it'll be an advantage for Tiger at first will be on the greens, because I'm sure during the practice round now, Phil was supposed to arrive Thursday. And so when he gets there Thursday, they play practice Friday, Saturday, you know, having some fun, being out there, and they're going to probably put the flags in some little different spots. Because Tiger, I know Tiger's going to want to have control over something like that. So Tiger might have some advantages on the greens to begin with. But even though it's Medalist and it's Tiger's home course, when the adrenaline hits and it's time to giddy up, like, Tiger can get sideways off the tee. And if he gets sideways off the tee for those first nine, if he's not putting for birdie, then the knowledge on the green is not going to matter.
So right.
It could be helpful for Tiger, but it also could be sometimes ignorance is bliss. And if you don't know that there's trouble somewhere, then you might hit towards that danger not knowing that it's there. And so when you walk up, you're like, man, I didn't know there was water on the left-hand side. I probably wouldn't have thought about going down this left-hand side. Whereas somebody who knows that there's danger is like, okay, the last thing a golfer ever wants to do is think, don't hit it right, because you know where it's going.
Well, you mentioned the trash talking in the first time. Do you think, I mean, Tiger was pretty, I mean, Phil took it more seriously. It seemed that way. Do you think Tiger will be more sort of into this, if you will?
Well, the thing about Tiger is Tiger got down early, if you remember the last one. And see, when Tiger starts grinding, grinding Tiger, not talking Tiger. But that's also, I don't necessarily blame him. If you're, this is where it's going to be important for Justin Thomas and Amanda Baliones and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, for everyone to be a part of this talking. So there can't be that 7-minute lull. Where the last one, I don't know that Phil took it as seriously until we got near the end, when it was like, all right, I want to make sure I got this money. Because it wasn't, they weren't playing for their own money, which again would put a whole different spin on things. But these dudes love having one on one another. So right now, Tiger's got one on Phil because he's got the green jacket. And Phil hasn't won a major for a while. Phil hasn't won a tournament for a little while, but he hasn't won a major for a while. So Tiger's got that on him. But now Phil can always come back to, yeah, I mean, I got a green jacket too that still hangs at Augusta. It ain't like I don't have any. And I got $999,000 and you got zero. So there's that. So there's, with these guys, pride will come into it. And I think Phil's one of those guys, when it comes to the Tuesday games, Phil doesn't lose very often. And they're not playing for the tournament then. But Phil, when he's playing in matches like this, he don't want to lose. Where the Tiger can be like, I'd rather have a green jacket than have the match. Because if you give him, he's going to take that every time. So he might not grind quite as hard, but I do hope that the trash talking is going to be better. But if we're being honest, it's Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, and we saw what Phil and Tiger did before. So it's basically going to the ice cream shop and going, let me get some vanilla ice cream. And they go, what do you want on top? You go, more vanilla.
we think that. How about, you mentioned the Masters. Tiger said he would have played this year, but he had withdrawn from a couple of tournaments before the PGA Tour stopped due to the COVID and pandemic and everything. How healthy do you think he is? What are you hearing about his condition?
He's fine. Now, you gotta remember, early in the year, we were talking about when it was 40 and 50 degrees outside. And his back just doesn't, he has talked about this before, that temperature matters for him. Well, now I'm in Gainesville, Florida right now, north of where they're going to be playing by about 3 hours. And as we record this, it was 92 today. And the temperature is not going down with the next few days. So it is not going to be a problem for him to get loose and his back to stay loose. And that's a big deal for Tiger. So health will not be an issue whatsoever for Tiger Woods going into this match.
And I could imagine he'd jeopardize like anything if he were really that unhealthy.
Right. Like, is he going to, for no matter what, like, you, just to think about, the tour's getting ready to start again, and now we got the Masters coming in November. There's no way Tiger is going to think to himself, I'll go out there and risk it, risk defending my green jacket title, for a TNT. Probably not.
No, yeah, that wouldn't make sense. Okay, so sounds like, you think Tiger's going to have maybe an advantage on the greens, blah, blah, blah. Who do you like to win this thing?
I'm picking Phil and Tom Brady.
Because of the money line, but you are regardless.
Yes, the money line is fantastic. That's the money line makes it easier for me to pick them, but I still think even if it was even money, I'm taking Phil and Tom Brady because Tom's competitive juices are going to be at a high level anyway because of all the changes going on in his life and professionally. He's still the professional grinder out there anyway. Now, and he's got something to prove. Peyton Manning is playing a lot more golf and having a lot more fun, but he's not grinding in competition. Where Brady is coming off grinding in competition, and he's going to have to do it again and almost try and take it to another level with a new team in Tampa. And then you factor in the Phil and Tiger. Phil doesn't want to lose. So in that alternate, that's where in the modified alternate shot, let's say both Tiger and Peyton and Phil and Tom Brady, all four of them hit horrible tee shots. Well, Tiger is not going to risk something crazy out of a sketchy lie to hit a miracle shot. You know what? Phil will. Phil will. And because Phil is so ridiculous off the tee sometimes anyway, he's used to pulling those shots off. So it's not going to be a big deal for him. And I think once Brady starts feeding off of that, even if Phil doesn't hit a great shot, Tom's going to be like, oh, well, if he's going to go do that, I'm cool. Let's do this. Why not?
Right.
Why not? The only thing that scares me about this is the trash talk from Manning to Brady. And is Manning going to be able to say something that is like an inside joke that we would hear and just go, oh, wow, that was pretty funny. But has a meaning behind it that we don't even know of, that Tom is going to shake him. You know what I mean? Because that's the thing about golfers. If you can get in a golfer's head, it doesn't matter how much better that golfer is than you. It's over. You beat him. And Phil's good at that. He's really good at that.
I'm going to be fascinated by those guys. Now, granted, their tees are going to be farther up. We know that. I'm just fascinated how it all plays out and how much they actually contribute. I mean, you would imagine the best ball is going to be won by Tiger and Phil throughout, but you never know. Par three, they could stick it close. I mean, these guys aren't like Joe Schmo off the street. I mean, I'm not going to put too much stock in their handicaps. At least I personally am not. What is it? Brady's handicap is what, 2 strokes better? Is that right?
Yeah. Brady's handicap is a little bit, or I should say Brady's a little worse of a golfer. Okay. He's the worst of the four. But because Brady hits it a long way, so moving him and Peyton up a bunch of tee boxes, if they're up 30 yards from where Tiger and Phil are teeing off, then there's a lot less pressure on Brady to be perfect. And I think Phil's going to be in his ear telling him that, hey, man, you don't got to be perfect. Don't feel like you got to hit driver everywhere, you know, if you're not real comfortable doing it. If you can hit 3 wood or a 4 iron to the 100-yard marker, do it. You know, do that where you're going to have a short iron in your hands no matter what. And Phil has marveled because he played with Tom before at Augusta. And he has marveled at Tom's short game. So if Tom's on the greens, or if he has if he has good lies and bunkers, and you know, or has a relatively easy chip or shot around the green, we might be impressed. We might be impressed. Or to be quite honest, this could be like a Mayweather fight. This could be like we're all jacked up and so hopeful. This is going to be so awesome. And by, like, the 9th hole, we're going to be like, oh, please make it stop.
Well, you know, maybe there'll be a side bet or something like that to get things interested. You never know. You can't underestimate their abilities to get involved on that front.
That's what would be fantastic. If they start getting a little side action going, and that's where you really can get into somebody. You know, if you make this like a Tuesday game, this is the only problem. I don't know if the tour would allow it. And this was the problem with the first match that the public didn't know. The public didn't know in the first match between Tiger and Phil is they were only allowed to have 4 wagers total. So when they made that first wager before the first hole, when Phil said, I bet you such and such that I'm going to birdie the first hole, one bet was gone. And that's why they bet the other par threes, and when they got to the last par three, everyone was thinking, why are they not gambling on this last hole? And it's because they weren't allowed, because they had run out. Now, if the tour is smart and goes, listen, if you guys want to have some fun side action, as long as it doesn't get ridiculous, like millions, then have at it. So if Phil can say something or Tiger can say something, be like, hey, listen, how about this? $20,000 on this hole closest to the pin from your own pocket to such and such charity.
And yeah, I know that kind of stuff is what I'm thinking of.
Yes. If you're getting in another guy's pocket, you know, and you'd be like, don't forget my 5%. So 100 for me and 20,000 to the charity. Like, they can do stuff like that. And if that starts happening, now you're talking. Now it's going to be yapping going back and forth. Like, now I don't care if we're friends afterwards. I don't care if I got to follow you to your car to get my money. So you're mad. Be mad. Because that's how it is for real. That's how it is on tour for real. You know, there's some, when guys gamble, you start talking smack because I want to get in your head. And I don't care if you're mad when we're done. You know what I mean? You'll get over it. You'll get another chance next week.
We all know that drill, following the guy to his car.
Yeah, we check. Come on, man. Let's go.
Yeah, we know that drill too. Really competitive. There's a lot of props out there, obviously. Do you think either guy will go four, either team, I should say, will go up four up?
No. I can't see it getting that out of hand.
Because a lot of holes will be halved.
Yeah, a lot of holes are going to be halved, you know, and I think there's going to be a lot of holes halved with pars. So I just don't see, unless somebody gets really hot and looks like they're going to shoot 63 on their own golf ball, which can't happen because the back nine is alternate shot anyway. So unless either Tiger or Phil shoot 28 on the front nine, you know, something crazy, which I don't see something like that happening, you know, even for Tiger, because that's never been their MO. They never come out the gate and just bang, birdie six in a row, you know? So if I was going to tell somebody, hey, that's a good prop bet, one of these teams is going four up, I would say, nah, that ain't the prop bet to make.
Yeah, juice isn't bad. It's minus -140, so nothing too extreme. Who do you think is going to make more birdies, you said, if somebody gets hot, Tiger or Phil?
I think Tiger is going to make more birdies, but in saying that, the one thing that makes me nervous is it gets a shot or two. Tiger can make a birdie, and that means Brady, if he makes a par and gets a shot on the hole, ties the hole for the team. And so I think Tiger can make more birdies. Think in a case like this, Brady and Phil still win because Tiger making birdie and getting not winning the hole in the long run is going to hurt.
There's also a prop out there. Do you think Tiger's going to wear red?
Yeah, see, how is Tiger not wear red? It's a Sunday. It's only one round. Now, they better not do, because if it happens, I will grill him mercilessly. If him and Peyton come wearing the same outfit, like they're a bowling team, oh, because we make fun of that on tour with pro-ams. If the pro-am team all got the same outfit on, like it's league night or something, we are merciless when it comes to that. Even golfers make fun of each other if they have the same outfit on, because there are a lot of guys like, you know, there are a lot of Nike clothing athletes on tour. And so they all have outfits. And sometimes, more than once, I've seen three Nike athletes all have the same outfit on for the day. You know, and
right.
We're merciless making fun of them. But Tiger Sunday red, yeah, come on, of course. And he still believes that when he puts on, it's like Jordan putting on the sneakers. You know what I mean? Like, when Jordan starts lacing the sneakers up and comes out wearing number 23, there's still, you get a little pucker.
you got to get your number 23 back, because we saw on the thing, you know, he was rocking it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, Tiger's, of course, going to wear red. What's the line? I didn't even see what the line was on that one.
I think it's a kind of a hefty price tag.
Yeah, because there's no way Tiger doesn't wear red.
No, there's no way, because it's minus -360. So you think there's no way?
There's no way. It's a Sunday. It's the match. It's Tiger. I mean, Tiger versus Phil. Can you imagine how wrong? Imagine how wrong it would look if Tiger came out wearing white pants and a blue shirt. Would you really like if you're Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson? Would that shake you up to be like, oh my goodness? Or would you look at that, you'd be like, oh, we got this dude now. He can't even wear his red and black on a Sunday for this? Come on. He wore it the last match and lost, so he's going to wear it again. Like, that's what Tiger's known for. He's red and black on Sunday.
That's what I thought, but I just wanted to make sure that I was seeing it right.
Yeah.
Anything else that you've...
No matter how much that one right there is like, don't be putting up a couple hundy to win $20. Like, nah, don't. That's not.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to, when you have juices like that.
Yeah, there's so much value in other places. It's going to be so much more fun. I'm so hopeful for this event, and that's knowing this past weekend. So for the Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson versus Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff, all the action that happened in Vegas for that it was like the appetizer for this. You know, knowing that Brady and Manning aren't professional golfers, yet the four of these guys on the golf course playing and those guys playing the up tees and hopefully the side action that starts happening is good. I am so knowing this isn't a real PGA Tour event, knowing that we're still just outside, just probably 2.5 weeks away from the tour getting back at it again. I am so excited about this event. And well, I should just say hopeful. I'm just hopeful.
Yeah, I am too. So why not? I mean, we need these kind of things just to kind of get us down the home stretch here of sports, because it's so, you know, we've been obviously bogged down, but it's so close. We can taste it. So we're,
yeah, this is almost like we get to practice betting again. Like if we're being honest, this is like, oh, you know what? It's been a while since we've actually gotten to do this. Let's get it. Let's put a big toe here into the pool and just kind of see how the water's still kind of nice. It's still not cold. It's okay. This might be all right. And it can still be fun and not go. Nobody has to go overboard. You know, nobody gets their feelings hurt. No one's losing. Don't lose a house. You know what I mean? Cause this is a made for television thing. So we can still, this is like a fun way for us to slowly but surely get back in. Okay. Yeah. You know what? We're going to be okay. We can get back to having some fun again and, you know, having some prop bets and some side action. And, yeah, it's getting excited about stuff again like this, which is great. That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, it's what we need. I think I answered all the questions. One guy, Mike Sullivan on Twitter, asked who drives the ball farther, Manning or Brady, and you said Brady.
Yep. I think Brady. Man, don't get it twisted. Manning is not short off the tee, but because of Manning's neck issues, he can't turn and generate nearly as much torque as Tom Brady can. Gotcha. You know, Tom Brady can send it. He can send it. And it's going to be funny, you know, because Tiger can still send it every now and then, and Phil hates to be outdriven. So the hard thing for Phil is going to be like, look, when Tiger catches one, don't, because when Phil tries to send it, it usually doesn't end well. You know,
not good.
It's like hearing a redneck telling his buddies, hey, y'all, watch this. You'd be like, oh, here we go.
All right, my man. Well, that's all I got. Awesome picking your brain and hearing a little bit of fun stories as well. Always good to talk, man. I know we haven't done it on Daily Wager in a while. I missed that, but you know what? Do it on the podcast, and we're going to enjoy some golf this weekend, and I hope you do too.
And look, man, once you start getting to golf a little bit more, then you got to come on my podcast, Maddie and the Caddy.
I'd love to.
We talk a little bit of golf and a whole lot of, you know what?
Well, that's awesome. And I know we've gotten both of you guys on Daily Wager, and there's obviously, you know, we talk about it in boxing and UFC, there's betting is such a large fabric of the sport, which is true. But golf is sort of the unspoken fabric, or betting is sort of the unspoken fabric of golf as well. So our worlds are certainly blurred, and we need to kind of thread the needle on that Venn diagram.
Ain't that the truth, man? That's the one thing. There's no gambling at Bushwood, but everyone's gambling at Bushwood.
Precisely.
It's definitely like that with golf, man. Well, thanks for having me on, brother.
You got it, bud. Be well.
Talk to you later.
kicking is for losers.
All right, thanks to Michael Collins. And one final note, the final two episodes of ESPN's The Last Dance aired last weekend. We want to remind you that The Last Dance is brought to you by State Farm. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Coverage is also brought to you by AT&T. Christina, how did you enjoy the final two episodes last Sunday?
I thought they were awesome. We've talked about it before. I've been following along the entire time. I've been loving the content. And I really enjoyed the last two episodes.
Yeah. And you had mentioned that you were not, obviously you're born around that. So you didn't really fully live it. I did, but I still just appreciated it. And it was put together beautifully. Obviously that's no surprise. We all knew it would be, but, I've learned so much about Michael Jordan. My biggest takeaway, I thought the reporter in the last episode or second to last episode talked about his ability to be present. And that's such a rare thing for so many people. And I thought that was an astute observation I had never heard. And sort of maybe one of his qualities that really separates him is his ability to stay present and then sort of poised. And I think that's a really important thing. I mean, we have people trying to meditate and do all this stuff to do that. And he was so good at that. And then also like the important role his parents and Dean Smith played. You know, we compare to Jordan and MJ. LeBron didn't have the college coach like Dean Smith the way Jordan revered him and talked about sort of that disciplinarian. And then even as LeBron's talked about his upbringing with a single parent and had to bounce around a lot, very different upbringing. So just that background for Jordan really, I think, was a very instrumental part in how he carried himself as a professional, both on and off the court. And I think that got overlooked by maybe because I was a kid back in the 90s, but that was something I really appreciated throughout the series, his parents and the influence they had.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think that your point of, you know, when they mentioned him being present and in the moment, to your point, I think it is really rare. I think that not a lot of people take, you know, a few steps back and realize what's happening as it's happening. And he did that. His entire career, he capitalized on loving what he was doing when he was doing it. And I think we can all learn from that.
And that's so critical for an athlete to stay loose. And that's something my former SportsCenter producers tried to help me with is like, don't worry about later in the show. And that's something I've taught, you know, if you have mayhem or we have breaking news coming up, you got to worry about the story you're reading at the time because that's all the viewer knows and let the people behind the scenes be running around. And that's really important for in every line of work to just to stay present. So I just thought that was, you know, you hear so much about the jumping bill. I said this earlier in the podcast, right? You have one dominant trait. People overlook all the other ones. I mentioned that about Stuart Scott, Michael Collins. He's known as that laugh is infectious, but he has obviously such substance with his 10 years as a caddy on the tour. There were so many other qualities to Jordan that made him great as opposed to the competitiveness or the come fly with me stuff. But that was really cool. And I think Jordan came across as really kind of likable in terms of his quick-wittedness and his composure and his how he saw things. We knew how Kobe saw things, the Mamba lens, so to speak. And obviously a lot of that has been discussed since his passing. But it was interesting to know kind of the reasons behind sort of what makes Jordan tick. I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it was all new information for me and I loved it.
As for Tiger Phil, I just touched on it with the caddy. I should have elaborated a little bit. I am on the dog here. I think the plus money is just ridiculous in a charity event. I could be wrong because it is Tiger's home course, but I am grabbing the plus money. Nothing crazy. I don't love it. It's not my bet of the year or anything silly like that, but I can't lay that kind of lumber in a charity event, but I am going to grab some odds. And then obviously there'll be live opportunities throughout the broadcast. So that could be fun if you see something, you pick up on something, but that's how I'm approaching this event, and I'm also eagerly anticipating actual sports around the corner. Good to have NASCAR back, and it's good to have other sports returning in the near future. But we always got table tennis all night for like 19 hours straight, and I'm not sure how much I sleep these days, but not enough is the answer. Christina, thank you. Thanks to Michael Collins, and thanks to everyone downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. And hopefully you guys are all staying safe out there. We'll touch base on the next podcast.